Yeah, and to be brutally honest, it is scary because I have that thought in the back of my mind, what if it comes back? It's an everyday struggle. Not only did my mom beat it, her two sisters had it. My godmother passed away from it. My other godmother, she beat it. But now my aunt, she had it twice, and now she has it again for the third time.
We are the guardians of girlhood, paired with multi-generational perspectives. And when we say every girl has a story, what do we mean? The girl searching for her people, the girl craving an outlet, the girl with big dreams but no idea where to start. What about the girl whose father is in prison? The girl who hides in the bathroom at lunch? The girl desperate for a break from her home, even just for a moment? By opening up and sharing these experiences, we not only empower ourselves, but also inspire others. Unconditional sisterhood, unwavering community, and the realness. We express, we create, then we elevate. This is Love Girls, the podcast.
Imagine being just 14 years old, excited about coming into your womanhood, only to be faced with a health scare that would foreshadow a battle far greater than you ever imagined. Our guest today has lived through it all. A fast-paced career in entertainment, the challenges of single motherhood, and ultimately a life-changing breast cancer diagnosis. Her story is one of strength, setbacks, and triumphs. She's faced loss, navigated toxic relationships, and fought her way back to healing, both physically and emotionally. And today, she's here to share the lessons she's learned, the battle she's won, and the faith that kept her standing. Get ready for an inspiring conversation about the power of faith, the importance of listening to your body, and what it truly means to fight for your life. Let's welcome Tamara to the podcast. Hi, my name is Kayla Babers. Welcome to Love Girls, the podcast. I'm here with my favorite sister, Jasmine Babers Gunn.
And then you also have a brother.
I do. My brother is here as well. Hey, Ryan. Y'all can't hear him because he doesn't have a mic, but hey, Ryan. Actually, the whole family's here. Teresa, Robert, Ryan, Jasmine, and Kayla. It's a family reunion.
My sister, she's also a co-host, and we're here with our intern, Amaya.
Hey, I'm Kayla Babers. I am Jasmine's sister and co-host.
Hi, I'm Amaya Woods, and I'm the new intern here at Love Girls.
She's doing such a great job.
She is. She's actually working the boards as our audio person today, so she's learning a lot. All read your article in Love Girls magazine, and it was so inspiring. It has sparked a lot of questions, though. We want to know a little bit more about your journey, because we know that you were 14, right, when you first noticed some changes in your body. Can you take us back to when you were a teenager and first noticed those changes, and like, what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, sure. So I remember I was like 14, and I was telling my mom that I felt some lumps in my breast. And we were at church that day. They had like a revival, and there was a prophet in town, Prophet Hargo. I never forget. So she put me in line with her to get prayed for. They prayed for me, and they disappeared. But then when I got older through time, I was in my 20s. I had my baby. I think my baby was like one or two. And then I felt some cysts coming back. And then I felt the lumps hurting. So I went in, got the biopsy. I was living in Atlanta. Me and my mom had a meeting with my oncologist and the surgeon. And they told me I had stage 3, invasive ductal carcinoma. And so we had that look in our eyes like, oh, my God, am I going to die? And I just started crying. It was like a Lifetime movie. And I was just like, Lord Jesus, fix it. What am I going to do? And so we had a family meeting, and we were praying about it, and they were just pitching in to help. And like my dad, he would take me to Atlanta every 2 weeks, and I would get my chemo treatments, but he would also fly out with my mom to MD Anderson to get her chemo treatments. So we were both fighting it from 2018 to 2019.
At the same time.
Yes, at the same
time.
That is crazy. And so my dad was helping with my mom. And then we didn't know that he was dealing with his own health issues. He had turned down dialysis to help us. And then he ended up being hit with pancreatitis and he passed away like April 19th, 2020. But I know that he's with me and he was there every step of the way through my cancer journey. And I learned that you can't let it get to your head. I'll never forget, I was talking to this bishop in Atlanta, Bishop William Murphy of Dream Center. He told me, whatever you do, don't let it get to your head. Don't let people's opinions of chemotherapy get to you. Or you getting scared, you rebuke that. Just don't let it get to your head. Just keep living your life. And that's what's been helping me every step of the way.
Wow. I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. And also having that happen along with your cancer and your mom's cancer, that is so much to carry. When you're 14, did you know how to check yourself, or how did you come across your cysts? And then how did you realize you had it again? Was it just because you were really cognizant and like always checking? Just curious to know, because I know you said that they went away and then they had come back. Did you just see them one day? You felt them one day? What was that like?
I remember seeing my mom sitting on the couch with her mom, and my grandma was raising her arm, feeling around her breast, trying to see, because my mom was showing her where the lump was. Mm. So when I saw that, then I started examining my body. And then when I got older, when I was in Atlanta, I wasn't even paying attention to it growing. It was progressing without me knowing it. And I didn't notice it started getting bad when I would feel it pulsating. It's like a little slight pain on the right. And I was like, what's going on? And so I started feeling around under my armpit and I felt the lump growing. I was like, that's not normal. So then that's when I talked to my mother about it. And then she told me to get a biopsy. And that's how I handled that.
It sounds like your mom's health journey and your mom and her support have really shaped your awareness of breast health.
Yeah. And to be brutally honest, it is scary. Because I have that thought in the back of my mind, what if it comes back? It's an everyday struggle. Not only did my mom beat it, her two sisters had it. My godmother passed away from it. My other godmother, she beat it. But now my aunt, she had it twice, and now she has it again for the third time.
I had a health scare a few years ago. And like once you get out the woods, they like to do genetic testing. To see, like, can you pass it on to your kids? Are any family members at risk? Basically, they use you as kind of, I call myself a hamster because all the tests they were doing on me, because my mom and dad are biologically related to me, it could lead to some, like, pre-testing for them to prevent anything, right? So once you guys started seeing this pattern in your family, like, I'm curious as what did the doctor say? Like, do you guys share that BRCA gene? That's the one I know of that is related to breast cancer. But I was just curious if this was just happenstance or if this was more of a genetic thing that has impacted your family.
My mother and I took the hereditary test.
Mm-hmm.
And it tested negative. But I feel that was false. Really? I feel like I need to take it again, because how in the world do I have it, my mom, and two sisters? Like, we need a retest. We got to have a retesting. Because I really do feel like it's in our genetics. So I definitely suggest that everyone should take a hereditary test. Because I feel like I should take it for the sake of my daughter. Because I have a daughter, and she's 16, and she got some knockers, you know. And they're bigger than mine. So I'm always going to be concerned.
Right.
So sure. I highly suggest that. And mammograms.
And you know what? That's a good point. Because I was adopted. And so biologically, whenever I go to the doctor, whenever I go to see anybody about my health, they'll be like, what's the history of X, Y, and Z in your family? I'd be like, I don't know. I have no idea. I got to be real. I guess I just never thought that maybe I should just get my genetics tested and see if anything pops up.
You never thought that, but yet I've told you to do that.
Have you?
Yes.
Sometimes, you know how it be with sisters. Sometimes it goes in one ear, out the other.
Just hard-headed.
Yeah.
It was hard-headed.
We have our intern here, Amaya, and I think she has a question about your career.
Okay, great.
Hi. So I know you pursued so many creative passions like modeling, acting, music, and more while being a single mom. So my questions were, what creative opportunities did you find, as well as how did you balance chasing your dreams with raising your daughter?
Okay, so how I got into the industry, my mom started rolling me into modeling agencies. I was part of John Casablancas, and then I was a part of Reflections Modeling Agency, where I learned how to perfect my model walk and do print. And then I was better booking myself. Like, I didn't have an agent. I just started looking at castings. I had friends that were in the industry doing music videos and acting. So they would send me different casting calls that they post on Facebook or Instagram. And I never forget, I booked my first music video with K Camp and Yo Gotti.
Hey!
And in Atlanta. That was my first big break, I guess.
Turn I love
for
K Camp.
That was
I'm over here cheesing. Like,
and then I became part of Team Yayo, which part of Snooty Wild's promo team. And I did a couple music videos with him. And then I did a music video with 2 Chainz, Bando Jones, fat child named Cisco.
Amaya, you know who
I
Cisco
started
is?
Doing Love and Hip Hop. I was on Love and Hip Hop for a little bit. Just a little background work, you know, something cute. Just get my feet wet. I was in like season 3.
which and city? Then, Love and Hip Hop, which city? Because now I'm going to go looking for you.
Mm-hmm. Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
It's the season when Mimi leaked that yeah. So, but it was so funny because I was in one of the fighting scenes when Young Jock's baby mama came to confront Carly Red, and you literally see me right behind her, and I'm looking at her like, what are you doing?
Stop
okay,
it.
So are these fights? Okay, I'm sorry. I got to pause because I love some reality TV. Mm-hmm. Do those fights be real? Like, are they really scrapping? Or is
about
like...
About that.
Yes.
So, I was talking to my homeboy, who's one of the producers of the show. And I was like, I was in this scene. It was so much fun. It was funny. How they fighting like that? He was like, babe, I wrote that scene. Oh, really? Okay,
no.
So it's like they write the scene, but the reactions are real. Like, they don't tell them that, oh, Carly Red's here and we're calling up Jocelyn to pull up. But
the Puerto Rican princess.
She doesn't know that Jocelyn's about to pull up and they're beefing. Like, the surprises, the reactions are real, but it's scripted. And after I like
scripted.
Growing up doing this, and I'm watching Baddies, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely scripted. So then I start doing like more scripted films, like BET's The Quad. It's like this college drama.
Yep.
Kind of reminds you of Different World.
Right.
Because Jasmine Guy was in it. Jasmine Guy and Nika Noni Rose. I was like one of the band students. It was a good project to work on.
Wait, do you remember what season and episode we can see you on?
Called I Am Not Afraid or something. It was definitely a racial profiling scene. It was when Anika Noni Rose got pulled over by the police.
Okay.
And then she got assaulted. It was that scene because I was in the classroom when they was like, we received a call saying that Anika just got arrested, and I had to look shocked like, oh my God, what happened? Like, yeah. So yeah, I got a chance to do that. Oh, I forgot this year. Last year I did Young Rock on NBC and Peacock Channel. It's about the wrestler The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that was fun. We shot the whole season in Memphis. So that was fun. You can still see that on the Peacock channel. And I recently, this past May, just did season 3 P-Valley. So I'm excited. But there's a scene with me and NLE Choppa, Slime Maroney, Big Crit, Duke Deuce. Like, all, they're showing a lot of people, a lot of Memphis people love this year. So I'm excited about this new season. And how I was able to balance that with my daughter, it takes a village. It takes a village to raise a child. My mother and my father, they helped support me raising my child, my aunts, my uncles. And then when I moved to Atlanta, I moved to Atlanta mainly not just to be a star or whatever, but to build a better bond with my daughter and her dad, because her dad is from Decatur, where it's greater. Okay. So I moved there so she could build a relationship with him. So I was getting help from him and his parents and his siblings with my daughter. And so that's how we were able to balance.
So were you working these acting roles while you were actively going through treatment, or did you take a break from that while you were battling cancer?
That is so crazy you said that, because when I was doing Love and Hip Hop and all those music videos, I had cancer in my body. I just didn't know it.
Wow.
So it had to take, I had a pap smear. That's what it was. Pap smear. And then, you know, when you have your pap smear, they examine your breasts, whatever, feel anything. And that's when they told me they felt lumps. We need to check into it. So that was when I was done filming. So I was just working a regular job. I wasn't working that much, but that's when they caught it after I was done filming.
So question, because like I mentioned, I've had some health issues over the last couple years. And I know you said like you were doing these things and you had cancer in your body and you didn't realize it. Now me, like, I was like, something's not right. But you know what? I'm going to keep pushing because, you know, it's whatever. Like, it's probably not that, it's probably not that deep. So I'm curious if this was like I was asymptomatic, or more of like, I'm grinding, I'm going to work, I have a family to take care of, and kind of let me push it to the back of my mind. And if it was the former, what are kind of some of those symptoms that you had that you can let our listeners know for things to look out for in relation to like any type of breast cancer?
But definitely start feeling around your breasts. It's all is about self-examination. If you feel any kind of lump, it's always good to get it tested. You don't even have to get a mammogram. Just go seek a breast specialist. That way they tell you, they examine you, they give you a biopsy, and they tell you, oh, well, this is a cyst. You'll be fine. We're just going to extract it. And you'll go on your merry little way. And if not, they'll do more testing.
And your advice to like young women and teens, what would you give them, and advice to being interested in the entertainment industry?
You have to network. It's all about networking. Whether you go... So I'm not really into going to clubs like I used to, but I noticed it's not what you know, it's who you know. Like, if you're going to a networking event and you may, you know, get someone's number and ask them what they specialize in. Oh, I'm a photographer. Oh, well, you have a photographer friend that gets your headshots ready to submit for those castings. Or you may be going to church. You may be at church and one of the music ministers is a musician, and he works with actors. So you get his number and y'all connect. But you also have to be leery of certain people you talk to, like these men. Like, they say they want to help you in the industry, but if they're asking you if you can come to their house or meet them at the bar, or they want to take pictures of you and you can't bring anybody with you at the photo shoot, that's a red flag. You have to really watch your image. You got to watch your image, and you have to watch out. Like, different people have different motives. So that's why I say you have to pray about it first.
Did you ever feel conflicted? I grew up watching Love and Hip Hop and things like that. Was there ever a conflict of your personal interest with, I mean, I get wanting to be on TV, but some would say that some of the actresses on Love and Hip Hop are raunchy, they're a stereotype or a caricature of what Black women are supposed to be in our most negative light. So how did you balance that and your faith at the same time?
I'm so happy you asked that. I remember someone was talking to me about Carly Red. because when I was in Love and Hip Hop, I was like, I like this, you know, reality TV scene. But then when I heard that Carly Red was trying to book a role with Tyler Perry, guess what? Tyler Perry turned her down. Mm-hmm. Why? Because she had that image. Who you're working with, you have to watch what you're wearing. Like, if someone, if a movie wants you to be casted in their scene, it's like, if they ask you in the casting, do you feel comfortable being naked? That's a red flag right there. You know, you cannot ignore the signs, because they ask, they pretty much, they try to see how far you can go.
Right.
So you have to, it's always good to have a manager or your mom or someone who is more mature into weeding out, is this agent, is this casting director really have my best interest at heart, or are they trying to exploit them?
So I know in your Love Girls article, you mentioned that you struggled with drinking and addiction. Do you think this fast-paced actor lifestyle had something to do with that?
What got me into that, I wanted to fit in. Mm-hmm. I'm a good church-going baby girl, raised in the church, the only child. And then when I moved to Atlanta, I was like, I'm free. And then I start going out every day, going to the club every day. Every day we lit. And then when I would go to these different clubs, you'll get in free. They'll let you in VIP if the promoter likes you. But when you're in VIP, of course, they're going to offer you drinks. Who's going to turn a free drink down? I was probably doing that so much, maybe that did bring on the cancer. Because I wasn't working out like I used to. I was like eating in all hours of the night. I would be drinking. I would be smoking. And then the men in the industry, they offer you the drugs. You could get off the bus on Greyhound and they like, hey, I got that good gas. Like, it's everywhere.
Wow.
It's flowing. So you really have to have a strong willpower to say no.
I really appreciate you being honest about that, because I think there are so many young women out here who want to fit in so bad. And mm-hmm. especially if you move to a new place, or you go off to school, or, you know, you're trying a new experience out for the first time, and you just want to make friends, or you want to fit in with like your new community, it's hard to say no. And it's hard to stick to your values when you're also wanting to make friends and be a part of something.
I just wanted to say that we appreciate you for coming on here and telling your story, and also giving advice to women and young teens in the entertainment industry and how you dealt with that, especially after stage 3 of breast cancer. And we just want to say that we find you as a very good role model, that we appreciate you for coming on here and talking, and just thank you so much. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come do this.
Oh my God, I'm so happy y'all called. I really appreciate this talk.
Yes, thank you. This has been another podcast for Love Girls Magazine. If you have any stories similar or any other stories that you want to share, please reach out at lovegirlsmagazine.com. We appreciate you for listening and tuning in. Till next time.